Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Let's turn, please, to the book of Ruth. We're continuing our study of the man Boaz, because I believe he presents to us a wonderful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that there can be no greater compliment, if I might use that word, for us to pay Boaz than to say he was a picture of the Lord Jesus. That's what each one of us should be. That's what each one of us should be. When the world looks at us, they should see something of the Lord Jesus. Do they see something of him in you? You remember the apostles when they were appearing before the religious leaders of Jerusalem, and as they defended their actions and their preaching of the gospel and their defiance of those leaders who wanted them to stop preaching, it is said that as they looked on them, they saw that they had been with Jesus. They saw that they had been with Jesus. There was something of the presence, the power, the likeness to the Savior resting upon those apostles. That's how it ought to be with us. God help us to be like Jesus. We like to sing that old hymn, I would be like Jesus. That's what we should desire, boys and girls. That's what we should desire. You know, there's many of your age out there in the world, and as they got themselves ready this morning for school, and they looked in the mirror, they were trying very hard to look like some pop star, like some sports personality, or some other individual that the world considers famous. And they wanted to be like them. And they fixed their hair, and they fixed their face, and they fixed their clothes, that they might somehow or other imitate this particular person that they admired. We should adjust our life, our behavior, our speech, aye, and our appearance, that we would reflect something of the Lord Jesus Christ. How pleasing that must be to the Father. When he looks down upon you and sees you seeking to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, that's pleasing to the Father. That's pleasing to the Father. May our ways please the Father. So, we're considering Boaz. Now, we've considered quite a few features about this man. The last thing we were considering was the knowledge that he had of Ruth and how he knew her before she knew him, before she was aware of exactly who he was. He knew her. And we thought of the truth that's set forth in Scripture, of the wonderful knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ had of us long before we knew anything about him. The Lord said to Jeremiah, when Jeremiah would have been a very young man, and the Lord called him to be a preacher, to be a prophet, the Lord said to him, before you were born, I knew you. In other words, before his mommy knew him, before his daddy knew him, before anybody knew him, the Lord knew him. And boys and girls, that's the knowledge God has of us. That's the knowledge God has of us. But I want to go a little further today, and I want us to notice that Boaz, who was the kinsman redeemer, that person within the family circle of Ruth and Naomi, who stood in that place appointed by God as the one who could help them in their distress. I want you to notice this kinsman redeemer was a kindly redeemer. He was a kindly man. And, of course, I want us to think of the kindness of the Lord Jesus as we consider the kindness of Boaz. A couple of verses I want us to read, three all told, in the chapter 2 of Ruth. First of all, verse 9. Now here is Boaz speaking to Ruth and giving her some instructions. And he says in verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, that is, my reapers, my servants. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee, chase you away when they see you coming as a stranger? they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels. Obviously, when the workers came to the field, they brought water with them, jars of water. And they very likely would have put them in a shady place in the field, maybe even have dug a hole and dropped them into it to keep the sun from shining upon it. You see, I'm old enough to remember when oftentimes men went out to make hay, and they would bring some drink with them, maybe even a can of milk. And you used to sometimes go to the ditch where there would be water, and you would set the can down into the water in the ditch, not submerge it, for you didn't want the water of the ditch to run into the can, but set it well down into it, and that kept it cool. Wasn't exactly a refrigerator, but it was pretty close to it. And so Boaz says to Ruth, "Now, when you're thirsty, go to the drink that's provided, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" She sees the kindness that's been shown to her. Unusual kindness. Kindness of such a degree that she has to say, "Why? Why this wonderful kindness?" Now look further down to verse 15. "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." I have to remind you that the law of God provided for the poor who didn't have fields. But at harvest time, they were allowed, and God commanded the farmers who owned fields to allow the poor to glean, to pick up straws that had been dropped, overlooked, whatever, around the field, particularly in the corners of the field. They weren't even allowed to go in and cut down the corners of the field. They were to leave those for the poor. But I think here that Boaz is going even further, and he says, among the sheaves. In other words, not just in the general area of the field, but where they're bringing the sheaves and stacking the sheaves, and where most likely there would be a greater abundance of stalks that had been dropped, etc. He says, don't stop her going there. Let her go there. Let her go there. How kind the Lord is. Wonderfully kind. Extra kind. Just like Boaz. Verse 16, "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose," or perhaps we could say handfuls on purpose. Deliberately. Drop some handfuls of straw for Ruth to gather. This, I tell you, shows the kindness, the going beyond that which was required of Boaz by the law to provide for the poor. He was going beyond that. He says, make sure you drop some handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Rebuke her. Don't stop her. Don't say, hey, leave those alone. You're not allowed to touch that. We're going to gather those up. No, don't say that to her. Let her gather them up. Boys and girls, we're talking about the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ toward his people. Now, this kindness of Boaz is a reflection, a picture of the kindness of the Savior even toward us. There's three things that we find here in the words of instruction given by Boaz to Ruth and also to the servants that indicate his kindness. First of all, there was protection. There was protection. He says to Ruth in the verse 9, "Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" He had given specific orders to the young men that they not merely were not to interfere or hinder her gleaning in the field, but they were to look out for her. Watch out for her. And oh, that you might realize this today, that the eye of God is upon you to protect you. He has given instructions to his servants to protect you. Now, when I speak of his servants, I'm not talking about ministers, because ministers could give very little protection. They need protecting. Now I'm talking about servants who are greater in power and knowledge than any minister. I'm talking about the angels. Here's a picture of the angels. This field of Boaz is like the world. And the servants that worked there, the servants of Boaz, who were looking out for Ruth, they're like the angels. They really are. Now, it's a little difficult for us to quite comprehend the fact that angels look after us because we can't see them. And it'll not be until we get to eternity, when we stand in heaven, that it will be shown to us just what the angels did for us. For you. For you. You will learn then the number of times that angels intervened and watched out for you. Now, what I'm saying is not some silly notion that people have come up with. If you look at Hebrews, you older ones in particular, I want you to look this up, and I want you to note this in your Bibles, and when you get home, go to your own particular Bible, and I don't know how you mark, if you do mark your Bible at all, but I'd like you to mark this verse, Hebrews chapter 1, and the verse 14, and here Paul is writing about angels. And he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Christians, in other words, heirs of salvation. That is, those who will become inheritors of God's salvation. And the angels are sent forth to minister unto those who are the heirs of salvation. Think on that. Just take that one verse, and there you have a tremendous truth set forth. If you are today an heir of salvation, if you have become an inheritor of God's salvation, God's wonderful mercy, there are angels sent forth to minister unto you. You might never see them. And such is their work that you might not be able to grasp that they are at work, surrounding you, protecting you, helping you. Although there are times when God's people have realized how close to very great danger they were, and yet wonderfully they escaped. And they're conscious of this, that the hand of God was upon me there. God preserved me there, and the means God used to preserve that person who is conscious of this wonderful mercy. The means God used was one of, or a number of, his angels. Let me give you an example in the Gospel of Luke of just such a thing, this ministering by the angels. Again, this would have been utterly invisible to all who were on the earth, but we're told that it took place. Luke chapter 16. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus, don't you? You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Well, look there at the verse 22, and we read, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried. No angels. Boys and girls, there is here a most solemn, glorious truth. When we die, I believe that not only is the Lord with us, that's what David said in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But I believe that the Lord will have his angels convey us to heaven. Listen, you and I have no idea of the welcome that awaits us when we die. There's very little fuss made of us today. We often see in the news of some well-known personality arriving at a theatre or arriving at a parliament for arriving at Buckingham Palace, and what a welcome! There's all sorts of people gathered to welcome them, blowing trumpets, soldiers saluting. But that never happens to us. We go about this world and nobody notices us. But there's a day coming when all heaven will stand to attention and we will be brought into the presence of God, accompanied by the Lord and conveyed by angels. On that day, boys and girls, you realize how much the Lord loved you, how precious you were in His sight. Now, on that day, you will be utterly amazed that you should be accounted so precious in the eyes of God. You will feel as you have never felt your utter unworthiness, and you will see all the more clearly what a privilege, what grace, what kindness God has heaped upon you. You, who is nothing but a sinner, lost and undone. Oh, says Boaz, look after her. Look after her. Take care of her. Ruth didn't hear him say that. Ruth didn't know that he had issued those instructions to the servants, but she would have felt the benefits of it. I'm sure she would have noticed how the young man would have pointed out where the water was for her to drink, where the food was, and encouraged her to come and sit down and partake of that food. She would have seen them dropping the handfuls on purpose, and she would have said, this is marvellous. Look at how I am being cared for here. I wonder why this is. And throughout our life, we will be conscious to some degree of the great kindness of God toward us, but not till we get to heaven will we understand fully the care God has taken of us. And those heavenly servants of His who have been charged with looking after us, you think about that today, and may your thoughts cause you to be all the more thankful to God for His mercy toward you. Now we're going to take this subject up again. Our time has really run out. We're going to take it up again on Friday. We're changing the day. We're coming back. It'll be Friday we'll be here. And we'll go a little further in our study of the kindness of Boaz toward Ruth. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, thank Thee that we have here some glimpse of the watch care You take over Thy people. Even at this moment, Lord, invisible to our eyes and to a large degree beyond our comprehension, heaven watches over us. Bless the boys and the girls. Give them some awareness of their special relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, any who are not saved, please, please awaken them to their need of salvation. Bless the school today. You know all that concerns it. And those particularly who need Your help and blessing and care, answer prayer, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.